great. God is good. Let us thank him. Yeah. Like many of you, I learned this prayer to say before meals when I was just a tiny child.
But what do? We choke on those words. When it doesn't feel as if God is either great or good.
When healing doesn't come in the way we want. When yet another shooting steals the lives of young men. When nothing seems to be going the way we hope. Our reading today asks that question. During Habakkuk's time, the Babylonians were capturing and destroying their way toward Jerusalem. And usually we see a prophet speaking on behalf of God to the people. But here we see a prophet speaking on behalf of the people to God. Habakkuk has a complaint. He wants to know why God is allowing injustice to be done among his people. He wants to know if God even hears his cries or if God cares at all. He asks, as we so often do, why and how long? And in the manner of the Psalms of Lament, Habakkuk complains to God about what he sees happening. He's frustrated with God that there's been no intervention to stop the bloodshed. God will not listen, will not save. And somehow, even reading these terrible descriptions that the prophet shares is a little bit of comfort for me. We're not alone in our laments, in our experience of a world that is not at all as we would like it to be. But along with this solidarity, Habakkuk shows us something else. In the very act of observing and documenting what is taking place and raising this to God, Habakkuk maintains hope that this is not the end of the story. There is still hope. Habakkuk has not given up on God. You see, lament is not a failure of faith. It's an act of faith. We cry out directly to God because deep down, we know that our relationship with God counts. It counts to us and it counts to God. And even when we're not experiencing the closeness that we might once have had, we believe somehow, somewhere, that God does care. Even if God seems not to hear, we believe that God is always within shouting distance. In the scriptures, God doesn't say, "Do not fear, I will take away all the pain and struggle." But rather, we hear, "You have no need to fear, because I am with you. And together, we will make it." In our scripture, in the worst of times, God hears Habakkuk's cry and replies, reminding him and us not to worry. God is acting, and God is always there, even when not visible. God is there. God is always there, even when we can't sense God's presence or see God's actions. When we cannot trace the hand of God, we must trust the heart of God. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't cry out, that we don't get angry or sorrowful. Being angry at God or feeling that God seems absent is allowed. And in fact, it has biblical precedence. And yet, those feelings of despair are never the end of the story. Everywhere the prophet looks are signs of emptiness, hunger, poverty, weakness and exhaustion. There's no blossom on the fig tree, no fruit on the vine, no food in the fields, no animals in the stalls. He sees only misery around him. Yet, and what a big yet that is, the prophet says he will rejoice in the Lord. In the midst of destitution and despair, we can
join him in his relentless hope, looking for the vision of God's might and power in a weary world, a vision that will arrive right on time. That's what we will be celebrating as we move into the season of Advent in a week from today. Habakkuk both names what is and holds on to hope for what could be. Being thankful, even though, is a practice and a discipline, believing in the faithfulness of God right in the midst of the mess. Thankfulness is an expression of trust. Barbara Brown Taylor reminds us that it's sometimes in our darkest moments that we learn the most. She writes in Learning to Walk in the Dark, a book I highly recommend, "I have learned things in the dark that I could never have learned in the light, things that have saved my life over and over again, so that there is really only one logical conclusion. I need darkness as much as I need light." Now, I'm not saying that we should pretend to feel thankful for things we aren't actually grateful for. You wouldn't write "painful case of shingles" on your gratitude list. That's not what being thankful, even though, means. We can accept the things we aren't really grateful for, knowing that God is with us, even in those times, and give thanks for other things in their midst. In the face of demoralization, gratitude has the power to energize. In the face of brokenness, gratitude has the power to heal. In the face of despair, gratitude has the power to bring hope. It's vital to make the distinction between feeling grateful and being grateful. We don't have total control over our emotions. We can't easily will ourselves to feel grateful, less depressed, or happy. Feelings follow from the way we look at the world, thoughts we have about the way things are, the way things should be, and the distance between those two points. But being grateful is a choice, a prevailing attitude that endures and is relatively immune to the gains and losses that flow in and out of our lives. When disaster strikes, gratitude provides a perspective from which we can view life in its entirety and not be overwhelmed by temporary circumstances. For Christians, that attitude is sustainable because of who God is, because it is how Habakkuk exclaims, "God is our strength." It's because we know, as the psalmist knew, that weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. As we've been walking through this season of thanks and giving, I've shared some questions each week that I think will help us live faithfully into who God calls us to be. And this week, I have more questions to offer, questions I hope will help us be thankful, even though. So the first question is, what has God done in the past? You can answer this question in multiple ways. You may want to begin by thinking about Scripture, about the stories of God and God's people in history. You may want to think about the church, the bigger church, and this one in particular, as we move toward our 60th anniversary, and how God has provided and worked through God's people. And I hope you'll also spend time thinking more personally about what God has done for you in the past. When have you experienced God's grace? When has God provided for you? Secondly, I'd like you to ask, what do I want and need from God right now? It's never wrong to bring our desires before God. And as you ask this question, allow yourself to feel all the emotions attached to those needs: yearning, anger, sorrow, hopefulness, whatever you're feeling. And then lastly, ask, can I trust God even if I don't receive those desires? The words we read from the beginning of Habakkuk are very different from the words at the end. And yet, nothing has changed in Habakkuk's world. It is the prophet who has changed. You see, he remembered that he could trust God fully, even if it meant waiting, even if it meant he only saw a small part of God's plans. Corrie ten Boom, who was imprisoned in a concentration camp by Nazis, said of her experience, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." God is always working toward redemption, toward a new creation, toward the fulfillment of God's initial vision of perfect wholeness and peace for all of creation. Like Habakkuk, we may not be able to see that happening, but God has made that promise, and we also, like Habakkuk, must decide whether we trust God enough to wait. This isn't just wishful thinking, but a faith that rests upon something solid, something firm, and something strong enough to sustain it, on God's sure and certain promises, promises that were fulfilled and are even now being fulfilled by Jesus. Our prayer for each of us is that we learn to answer yes to that last question. Yes, we can trust God even though you may not be there yet. And faith is a journey for each of us. It's not a straight line. But like Habakkuk, if we can be open with God about our desires and our feelings and remember who God is, loving, merciful, redemptive, then we can learn to say with Habakkuk, "Counting on God's rule to prevail, I take heart and gain strength." We can learn to say thank you, even though. Will you pray with me? God, you are our salvation and our strength. Help us to know, whatever our circumstances, whatever fears or anxieties we have, whatever darkness lurks on our horizon, whatever is happening in the world around us, you are our salvation our joy. When the world around us seems confusing and hopeless, fill us with hope in your goodness and grace. Help us to say and to mean,